So in addition, so we go through, this guy had a consistent theme. And the theme for his case was, this man has a long history of protecting and saving kids. And so he put forth a bunch of evidence to demonstrate that. He had run the troubled youth camp for 30 years. He presented in evidence many letters of gratitude from past youth. He had testimony from other youth about the goodness of man. He flipped the nature of the case, again, from his conduct towards this kid to who he was as a person and what his motives were in taking the actions he took.
And so you come back to that, I think you saw consistently, right?
Right.
Not in a way that is, and we might talk about this in a second, you don't talk about that in a way that is too repetitive, but you do talk about it or explain it and present it in a way consistently that doesn't bore your audience, right?
Right. Well, because the idea is, you know, repetition will get things ingrained in your head, right? But you don't repeat the exact same thing, because when you repeat something too much, people tune it out, right?
Right.
So you repeat the thing, but you repeat it in different ways. And when you do that, it will resonate and it will stick with your decision maker. They will very clearly know your theme. They'll remember the evidence that supported it. And so you come back to it all throughout your case. You come back to it when you question your witnesses during direct. When you're questioning the opposing witnesses during cross-examination, you frame your questions to, again, support your narrative. You know, questions like, didn't my client have a responsibility to protect this girl? Sexual advances of a 17-year-old toward a 14-year-old are a significant concern, right? You question every witness about things related to your theme. You frame your questions in such a way where you assume your theme. You know, I give the example on the slide of, so, because you were concerned about the danger of this girl, what did you do next? Again, you weave your theme, your narrative, throughout every part of your case, your evidence, your questioning, and so on.
So one of the things that we're always taught is the unfair question, right? When did you stop beating your wife? But there are ways that you can ask those questions. It's not really an unfair question. I mean, yes, it is an unfair question, but it still can be asked in a way that is consistent with your theme, even with a witness that might not know anything particular about the way the 17-year-old might have made advances on the 14-year-old or whatever. You can say, were you aware? And even if their answer is no, right? You know, as the person asking the question, they don't know anything about that. You still ask the question,
yeah,
right? Did you know anything about that? No, I didn't know anything about that. Well, okay, but then you did know that 17-year-old had made some pretty crass sexual comments, just generally about whatever, right? And you could find some other things to back up the theme of this kid might have needed some more, I think they call in school, they call it physical redirection, which is really just a very nice term for taking somebody essentially by the scruff of the neck and making them pay attention to the stuff they need to be paying attention to, right? So obviously part of a good theme is being clear, consistent, and relentless, I think. But not in a way that is off-putting.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
Right.
To clear, consistent, relentless when you talk about what the decision should be, right? So one of the things you talk about was that persistence pays. One of the things that I do, and I say this as a joke, but it really is a good joke to me because it's true, is that one of the most valuable books I have is my thesaurus. And it's because when I need to say the same thing for the 17th time, but I don't want to use the same terms in a brief or in an argument, I need to have catchphrases that work because, again, it's not communicating clearly. Communicating clearly is from your viewpoint, right? It's through your lens. Being heard clearly is through their lens. And that's what you want, right?
Right.
You've got to be heard. So you have this phrase that for whatever reason really resonates with you. It makes sense to you. But for whatever reason, that judge or that witness doesn't get it. It doesn't hit them the way that it hits you. You're going to need to be able to say that from a bunch of different angles, right? You make your attack from a bunch of different facets. And I'm not just talking about any particular element, any particular piece of evidence. I'm really talking about your theme.
Yeah.
It needs to come down to saying it. And here's an interesting tidbit. I went and looked this up for this. It's very, Johnny Cochran famously said, if the glove doesn't quit, you must quit. How many times do you think he said that? in his closing.
People know, but we all know it.
We all know it. But he didn't say it but three times. Right? He only said it three times. And I went and looked up his closing argument, ran a word search. But he said that sort of thing, that theme of the evidence doesn't fit this case in a bunch of different ways. And so obviously it's important. He understood the importance of theme and consistency, right?
Yeah.
Even if he didn't repeat the same words.